The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
As we bring to Freedom 106.5 FM, Atalia Samuel, Miss World TNT 2012, and Miss Universe second runner-up for this year, 2024, and of course the technical coordinator at the Ministry of Youth Development and National Service. So good morning to you, Miss Samuel, Miss Atalia. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. You know, I could have been in better places, but I'm good.
Well, congratulations still, because to come through, you know, the competition and, you know, place second. I mean, it's not the ultimate goal, but to reach it that far is still an accomplishment. I'm sure that the competition was stiff.
The girls were awesome. They were amazing. My pageant sisters, I really look at them as some really, they are some boss babes, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see that we are speaking on the topic of being, you know, powerful, impactful women, and they have been standing the test of time.
Yeah, so from that perspective, let's start with the beauty pageant side of it first, because this is what we know you mostly for at the stage of modeling, then into competition. How did you start off modeling, and how did you end up in beauty, the beauty pageant competitions?
Well, before all of that, I am a sport chick. A lot of people saw me as a tomboy in the community. I played football, netball, and I ran track. Mm-hmm. Literally the fastest girl in school. And you know, I always dreamt of being that Olympian, because when we think about doing anything, we think about where we're going to do, how we're going to lift our family and communities mm-hmm. out of where we're from. And not even out of where we're from, but even just bettering what the life is. And that is what I knew for myself. Eventually, at the age of 13 years old, we had a competition over on the Beetham Gardens called Intercommunity Pageant. And in that pageant, they wanted someone who could represent over on John John's side. Because, of course, as you know, Laventhal is super huge. Mm-hmm. It even runs straight into Morvan, which is also part of Laventhal. So it even runs through San Juan as well, because San Juan has a Laventhal as well. Mm-hmm. So that is how far back Laventhal goes. So it's a stretch of greatness. And in doing that, I was reluctant, because for me, yes, I knew how to walk in shoes, but I never saw myself as the pretty girl kind mm-hmm. of stuff. I always thought of myself as being that track athlete, that footballer, that netballer. And eventually I said, you know what? Let me give it a try, because me and no punk, you know, mm-hmm. I could try this. Because they were making me, they were like, you don't want to do it because you find this. And you know how people are in the community. So they jolted me, and I was like, you know what? I'll represent you. And in that competition, I actually designed my first dress as well, because I sat and draw a lot as a child, and I always loved fashion in mm-hmm. hindsight. Mm-hmm. So I started to draw at a tender age of, I think it's 9 or 10, and I drew things that I wanted. And in that show, I actually designed my own evening gown, and I won evening gown in that show against the great PJ Elias, who had a gown there. Heather Jones had a gown there. The late great Dexter Jennings had a gown there, and I won best evening gown. And when I tell you, that took me off the moon.
Yeah, that would have been a confidence booster, because you called some names that are powerhouses in the fashion industry in Trinidad. So, you know, to come first time with in this competition vibe to draw. So why didn't you follow through with? Well, that is another question. Let's go through this first, because it's you know, tickling my mind that how come you didn't go into designing, but you decided to be. Also, you are doing fashion as well.
Yes. Okay. So I was the face of Seychelles, not Seychelles alone, but the first fashion show I was the face of was in Cayman Islands, mm-hmm. and they called me as a model, because you know, it was something like just having part of representation from the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And I was that person as the fashion model from Trinidad and Tobago, as the face of Cayman Islands, alongside Trevine Stewart, who also was the Caribbean's Next Top Model with me. And from there, it became, I was like, you know what? I wonder if I could use this opportunity to design, because I started to do swimwear, and I wore my own swimwear, and everyone was like, Athalia, I love your swimwear. I love how it fits you, however the case may be. But people are not looking at the fact that I have a whole six pack running down my body. And I'm like, I'm super lean. So eventually it took me into a place of, okay, my cousins are like of thicker sizes. So I started to do stuff for my cousins and my family. And it was always in like indoor. It was never like outwards. And when I recognized, okay, Nigel Barker from America's Next Top Model is going to be there. I forgot the lady name. She was on the show with Cookie. I can't remember.
Taraji?
But she was
on. This is another one.
Taraji, the other one. Mm-hmm. The fair-skinned lady with the short hair. So she is Comedian. And I was like, okay, let me use this opportunity to show what I can do. And my collection started with $100. I went by Jimmy Abood and by my...
You see, this is are the stories that the future boss babes, as we call them,
to hear because
you would think that you would need, you know, a huge investor amount to start. But it's small things. It will take a lot of time, but you have to start small.
And as an art student, what I did outside of doing... Now, the thing is, right, you hear me calling on so many other facets of things that I do. What happened with me as a child, I always tend to want something came out. Like, let's say the community had, like, someone doing a certain sport. I would literally just jump at it and take part in it and just be great at it in whatever way. And then the teachers would be like, oh, she's awesome. So we keeping her. And in hindsight, I was like, brother, my mother don't have the money
for this.
Because I'm like, I will be top two or three in this, wherever it is, because she can't pay for this. So somebody going to pay for it some way or the other.
Because
I was just adamant as a child, really.
And the thing is, from those types of exposures, then people would want to invest.
That is what happened.
Yeah.
Even through, I played lawn tennis. The teacher was a teacher from, when I went to St. Dominic's Convent, the teacher came to the school because we had something like a club period, which was an hour or two every Wednesday in school. So they would come to do like karate, self-defense. We had netball. I ended up being netball instructor because a lot of the girls wanted to play netball, but I played netball for so long, so I taught netball. So I was like, y'all want to learn? And they were like, well, yeah. And then we had one or two of the other girls who were from like MOVA and stuff who actually played. And we were like, we joined our cahoots and we started our own little club in school. So these are some of the things that would work. And then I started to, I mean, even though it's a convent and private or whatever, I started to sell salts in school and cakes because we really didn't have like all our money. And these girls never really ate salts per se. So I was like, all right, because I went in school with it like once or twice. And the girls was like, they used to call me Sammy, what are you eating? So I was like, well, salts. They're like, okay, let me taste it. And I'll give it to my friends. And they would be like, oh, this is bomb. This is fire. Like,
all right. And you make a little, you know, make a turnover and you get the funds for whatever you were planning for.
If it's uniforms. Awesome thing. My mother was like, if you're doing it, you have to do it on your own. Because she was like, I have no time to do all that. So I eventually started to do sauce in school. And I couldn't bake. So I would actually buy the cake and slice it up small to sell it. Or she would have made it for me. And I would have sold it. Because I still, up to this day, I don't know what people like about baking, boy.
It's an intensive thing, no doubt. Yeah. Now the thing is,
I can cook anything. It's a
acquired thing. You have to understand that there is a lot of technical things that goes into baking, but yeah.
Let's go.
But the thing is,
I'm gonna eat their food.
For real, because once inside of the kitchen, that heat. But going back to the beauty pageant side of it, those were the pros of the beauty pageant scene. You were encouraged to design your own swimwear, your own clothing line. You met a lot of people and had great experiences. You got to travel and be the muse for many designers so far like across the Caribbean, and that experience has molded your presence and character. Now, going on the dark side of the beauty industry, what are some of the cons that you've experienced in the industry?
And I don't want people to listen to this and feel like they are like losing themselves trying, because there's no way you can say you have never tried. I don't want you to sit and say, you know, I shouldn't do this, I could have done that, I would have done that. But really and truly, my love for it is different for another, right? So I actually stand the brunt of it because I loved the industry and still love the industry in that light. And we may think we don't have a colorism issue in Trinidad and Tobago, but we actually do. We face a lot of the, and our racism is not the same as what America might see it as. We actually have some of it here. And a lot of the times we are afraid to address these situations because of what it might do to you in an industry, which has happened to me numerous times. I've had to be the one to not say anything despite of being one of the best in the Caribbean, one of the first to leave Trinidad and Tobago to do bar launches out of Trinidad, actually. So in hindsight, when I think about a lot of the times what I may get paid to someone who is fair skin is chalk and cheese, I might have to do the show for free or do it for like $200-$300 whilst, and it's happening now because I'm seeing some of my other peers who started way on, because I'm the longest running model in Trinidad and Tobago. I'm doing this for 24 years. This going into 25 years. Actually, this month made it 24 years. I'm in the industry. Suan is right after me. I think she's 23 or 22 years in the industry, actually, like a full-blown model. And Suan is amazing. And Suan can also attest to that, that she has had to do a lot of shows for free because, one, being a black girl, coming out in the industry, and per se, we are like the top dogs when it comes to doing this thing. When you think about fashion and pageant, you just think about Suan and Natalia. It's obvious. And to know we can't, we still, and to this day, when we call price up, people will be like, who she feels she is.
Want to banter and want to renegotiate. Yeah.
And then when we hear what our peers of lighter skin are calling $1,300 US and this and that, and I am there saying, brother, I couldn't. Because I would not, people would watch me and feel who she feels she really is.
This is another aspect that probably should be focused on as well. In terms of management, you know, what is that like for you? Do you have someone who manages you?
When you think about management, I've asked one or two people to manage me, and everybody seemed really busy. But then when it nights that I see some of the things they do, I was like, all right, cool. All right, so you're working with this one and that one, but it can't work with me unless I tend to look at it as they don't understand the industry, so they don't want to work with me. So I just cut it as that, and I continue doing my thing. And now it actually put me in a position to actually sit down as an individual to say, okay, Athalia, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to start off. This is what you're going to do and go with your body. This is what you're going to do to market yourself. This is what you're going to do. So you actually learn how to also be your chief butter washer, everything in one, like chef, everything. You learn how to do the industry inside out as by default.
Yeah, because you have no one else to really rely on. In terms of mentors.
Exactly. Yeah, then people don't really take the time to understand the industry because they just think it's all about sexuality. When in hindsight, when I'm on a runway, I don't even think sexuality. I just think about, most of the time, as soon as I'm starting, I ask the designer or ask the person who is in charge of creative direction, and what is the mood of your shoe?
Yeah.
And that's it. And that is what I go into. So when people think I should have just dropped out of the industry a long time ago because I'm great at all these other things, I'm like, no, y'all don't understand. Like, I literally go into wherever the character is. So even playing traditional masks, a lot of people don't even think I do that. I do that with my sister. My sister, Orchid Mathias, she is a traditional mask maker. She NCC knows her. Everyone who is in traditional masks will know her. But you know, Dame Lorraine and Baroquette and all this stuff. And even from that site, when I did the Miss Universe of recent, I did played a character by Kiyomi Saret, and she is the Perro Grenade. And when I did the Perro, I didn't really understand all the fine details, and I was adamant on learning every single detail of that character, because that is how we as Trimbegonians need to actually, and that is something I am soon enough going to be talking to my boss about as well, because our traditional mask makers are is dying. The art of creation.
Yes.
And we need to see our like lost tribes actually bring out something like that. And when I tell you, I know for sure, because a lot of the times you the older heads will be like, you know, back in the days of Barbarossa and this and that. I would know, but they would know the feeling of that. So the craft is there. However, what I pray for is more persons understand or even get to come to understand marketing and management of fashion. And that is something that I'm going to do in a masterclass soon. I saw one or two of my peers did it of recent, whatever the case may be. And when I think of it, it's like, you know what? I felt that kind of way because, you know, I cannot call it. But it's all right.
Now, these are so many different elements that play a vital part in the industry that seems to be a little disjointed. And when you talk about it that way, when it comes together, it comes, you know, it makes a beautiful product. But like you said, the elders sometimes is give a little, you know, resistance to changes and ideas. Well, we just talked a little bit about
different industries overall, but that is one of the things. And when it comes to also when and I just want to touch on this point, if you don't mind, we spoke on the colorism, because one, as I told any a lot of the girls, they will call me to do their coaching. I'm reopening my model school soon, because I do it, but privately, but actually I'm looking for location to actually have a full-on class throughout the year. And one of the main things I always tell my girls, you know, as a black girl, yeah, what? I understand you like the industry, you love it, but it really don't love us the same way. And it's not just in Trinidad and Tobago only. However, what I would always do and encourage you to do, if you love it, chase it.
Yeah, because I guess that information is vital, so that I don't want to say lower expectations, but be ready to have an idea.
You have to be
so you could be aware, so you could, I guess, forewarned is forearmed.
Yes, and also be mindful that when we start off, and some of them would ask me what price to call. I would tell them the price. However, I will also let them know when you call that price, be ready to also be turned down.
And those who are really willing to pay the price would be there. But going into this scheme of it now called Boss Babe, can you define what Boss Babe means to you, and how you are going to bring that to the young ladies who are listening now?
Of course. And I want to highlight my sister friend, Tenille Clark. Is it Tenille? And she's also one of our recent awardees, winning Boss Babe Entrepreneur.
At the NEDCO Awards.
And my DNS as well. Let me tell you, Tenille has come through for me in so many ways, since 2012. When people looked at me as the horse or the this beat and rat, this standing up, or all these things they would call me, and I had to sit down in that moment and say, all right, these are the people I'm going to close my eye and walk on international stage and represent, despite the names that they call me, despite of all the backlash that they call me. I'm falling into despair, understanding that these are my people. You know, despite what they say, they are added to the 1.3 at that time, and now is 1.4. And Tenille was like, Athalia, stop looking at the internet, just stop. She said stop. So I eventually stopped. And anything that I had to do, I actually sent it to her, and it would have been Ian as well. So they would have worked with me hand in hand to ensure that I understood that sometimes you need to let go of what the social media imagery is all about and focus on the people who are focusing on you. So I started to focus on them. And Tenille Clark is the epitome of local Boss Babe for me. She have went to, she's a girl from behind the bird, so I clap in hands too. Yes. So she has started doing her thing, representing different brands of all facets, different backgrounds, from the mayor to myself, and doing PR is no easy feat. And now she's touching elbows with Beyonce's PR specialist. around the world.
When you start to do things, your name and your reputation is whispered in other rooms, and then that just opens doors. Yeah, that is some good news.
And this is not about people creating the way for her either. She has literally spent money on doing what she's doing. So this is also out of pocket. When people think is, oh, she's elbowing with Vonette. And no, she actually spent money to understand.
That's another part of the process that they don't consider, the amount of sacrifices and out of pocket.
Even for me, people think, you know, it's a better roasted. Hello. Everything, even down to my house, everything inside of it, outside of it. I'm now recently a car owner, praise God, because I've been battling with the bank, brother. But overall, when I tell people the joy you get from investing in yourself, because even now I'm still investing in school-wise. I'm always ready to learn something. And then I want to pursue my master's and push on doing so much more, because it's never, and again, it's never just about me. And being a boss babe, they would understand how sometimes you have to be self-full and not and be selfish towards certain things, because you can't be seen about everybody else and not you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why people would say, she always want to dress up. But this is where I feel the happiest. This is where I invest in me. Mm-hmm. The look is me.
And it's part of your product as well. It's part of your product as well. So for you to garner more jobs and opportunities, you have to look the part.
That is it. And I told my models that even if you think you're slim, fine, that is good. I was slim until I was like 32. That is like 3-4 years ago, right? And the thing is, you can't be 21 and you just all over the place in the industry. No, you have to, it's a lifestyle. You have to keep it up. And I'm not saying that I'm now it's so full of inclusivity, so you don't need to be a stick man to do it.
Mm-hmm. You don't. Mm-hmm. And that is part of the beauty industry that has expanded over the years because of, I guess, the younger ones understanding that there needs to be inclusivity in the industry, because it's not that model ideal anymore. The model ideal has changed. So because earlier on you talked about, you know, creating bathing suits for your cousins who are probably a little on the plump side, which, you know, opens up a whole new part of the market that has been under service for quite some time. So, and it's just exploring and seeing what is up open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is since 2012, and even before that, people would have done it for me or before me, and people won't understand that. But now we are in a space of being inclusive and understanding that our Caribbean women, especially, and Black women, of course, we are of a curvier set. And if you want to market to that market, which is where the money is, you can't always design for someone who's 00 or 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. We now have to include 4, the 6, the 8, the 10s in order to see where your money on the market is worth. And also when we talk about beauty products in the sense of color, like Rihanna was like, I'm gonna come with 30 colors.
Well, you see, you call the one who was innovative in that and recognizing that the other brands that we so want to spend this money on wasn't catering to those shades of colors, you know, and she introduced it, and now she's going into a hairline product thing. This girl is something
else.
And
she also brought in with her Fenty lingerie line. She actually was one of the first to actually set the bar when she included the plus size girls in her fashion runway wearing her lingerie. Mm-hmm. And people watched it and thought it was silly or whatever the case may be. But guess what? They also do like lingerie too.
Mm-hmm.
So why not include them in your style? And this is where we have now the dynamic of being visionaries, being persons who are innovative, and not just innovative, but being that woman who can lead, who could set examples, who could actually have people follow them. Look, now she's even a thicker lady. She has children.
Yeah.
And yet still people just did a ton of vision.
They just gravitate.
They just see Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, I think she has stood the test of time from when she started to now. And she doesn't need to work, but she loves it.
And the thing is, she had the foresight to think, okay, my body will not stay at 30 something what it was when I was 19, 20. And as a woman, that is something that many designers and I guess, you know, public on, well, men as well. You had to say men, yeah? Because most of the time, they're the ones.
In the industry as well, eh?
Right, and they're the ones who make some of the, most of the decisions within the industry. That body do change with age because of, you know, different factors. And you see the food.
But it's not only with age. Sometimes we have, because of recent, when I think about, like, my hormonal situation, because at one point in time, I started to put on weight and I didn't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I was just there. I felt all the pains. I was going through really crippling pains. And eventually, I was like, all right, I was scared, actually, to go to the doctor. And I was one day, I was like, you know what, Afalia, you need to see about your health. You can't see about everybody, mm-hmm. but you're not seeing about you. This is also part of being that leader that you are.
Mm-hmm.
You want to speak it, live it. So I was like, all right, go to the doctor. When I went, they saw the issues and they were like, okay, this is the reason why and you need to change your entire diet. So when people just think, well, oh, she put on side, no, she loses all this, I just randomly, no, I have to because I have situations going on and I need to also understand that in order for me to have longevity on this earth, I also need to take care of me.
Yeah.
I would have been very reluctant in the past to see about all these issues and why wait until you're older? You have to really think about when you're young so you can prevent the situation. When I told you, they were telling me they think it might be cancer. Ross, I walked around that hospital blind.
Mm.
I couldn't see. There was the toughest 2 weeks waiting for results ever in my life. And I want to let everyone know to actually take advantage of the situation now and actually, let me see, is this on? You hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you. We're hearing you loud and clear.
Yes. So you have to take action now because you don't want to wait until it's too late. You don't want to wait until something happens and then you're like, oh, I never knew because you didn't take the initiative to actually go to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray God that, you know, that people take advantage of our system because I've seen a lot of questions in the outside, like US and stuff. They don't have the same privileges we have when it comes to our medical system.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.